Praise the Lord. How about we clap our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's give him some praise. Let's lift up a shout of praise today. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We worship you, God. Oh, Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you for coming through for me. Come on, won't you thank him for something specific right now? Thank you for blessing my finances, Lord. Thank you for putting food on my table, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord God. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for giving me a place to go. Oh, I love you, God. I praise you. I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, one more time. How about we push past the distraction? Hallelujah. And focus in on him. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is called a worship center because this is where we worship. Amen. Hallelujah. This is where we lift up our voice. This is where we lift up our hands. This is where we fulfill the scriptural commandment that says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everybody take a big breath. That means you. Praise God. And if it's not you, then we're going to need to call an ambulance. But that means you, because we all got praise in our body. And doesn't he deserve it? Amen. Come on. Doesn't he deserve that praise? Praise the Lord. What a little inconvenience to us. I remember when I was younger and wanting to get a hold of God. But, man, I don't want to put in the effort today. I just don't want to go down to the altar today. I just want to be kind of laid back and lazy today. But I realized that got me nowhere when I just opened up and said, all right, God, whatever you want to do for me, hallelujah, I'm here for it all. I went down to the altar. I danced. I shouted. And I tell you, God changed my life. Hallelujah. Praise will change your life. You believe that today, church? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise will change your life. It's a blessing to have each and every one of you with us today. It's wonderful to have our guests here. God bless you. Wonderful to have you today with us. Pray that the Lord bless you and all of you, and thank you for joining with us. The Lord has just been so good, hasn't he? Brother Aaron, could you throw up that slide? I do want to make one more announcement before we'll get into our sermon, and I'll have you be seated. This is the School of the Spirit. Everybody say School of the Spirit. Reverend Daniel Dagan, who is a presbyter in the UPCI, he will be coming here and doing a series of lessons for us. Brother and sister, I'm telling you, we are blessed to have this opportunity to have him come. It's going to start on July 18th at 7 p.m. Everybody say 7 p.m. 7 p.m. he's going to start. He's got specific topics, and we will provide you with QR links to be able to get his notes, because these are going to be lessons. He is going to dig deep into these topics. Number one, he's going to talk about the overview of the gifts of the Spirit. Then he's going to talk about knowing God's voice. These are not going to be short sermons, right? These are going to be in-depth lessons on these topics. And I tell you, I'm all in for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know we like our cookie-cutter five-minute sermons, but I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. The next day on Saturday, we're going to be back here at 10 a.m. Everybody say 10 a.m. 10 a.m. We're going to have coffee here. Don't worry about it. We're going to have donuts. We're going to have breakfast for you. If you come, we'd love for you to come a few minutes early. We won't be serving it at 10 a.m. That's when service starts. But if you come a few minutes early, you can partake in some of the donuts and coffee. He's going to go through training for altar workers. We made this point before, but every person in here is an altar worker. If you can pray for another person, that means you're an altar worker. So this is going to be beneficial for you. He's also going to teach on intercessory prayer, which is an essential topic for every Christian to know how to pray, specifically to intercede on the behalf of somebody else or to intercede on behalf of the church or their city. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he's going to teach in-depthly on that. He will be following that up the next day here on Sunday at 11 a.m. He will be preaching during our service. I'm just so excited about it. I believe this is going to transform us. He testified and said that the other churches he's done this with, they saw immediate shift in the spirit and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Revival followed it. Hey, look, well, I'm not going to wait till then for revival, but I'm excited to know revival is here. Somebody say revival's here. Amen. So we're very excited about what God's going to do with that. If you can, head in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 10. And verse 8, just read a little bit here, and then I will pray and have you be seated. Pastor Dagan is a personal friend of mine. I've known him for many years. When we first became pastors of the church, he preached for us. He did a revival much like that. It was less teaching. It was more of a revival services, and it did absolutely transform our church. And so we've been wanting to have him back ever since then, and I just thank God he opened up an opportunity. It's going to be a blessing. Praise God. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 8. I'm going to read an interesting passage of Scripture, and we'll just see what the Lord wants to do. It says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it." It's quite interesting. "Take this book and eat it up." Then he makes this prediction. He says, the angel says, "It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Oh, praise God. "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up." I consumed this book. "And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before my people," many people, "and nations and tongues and kings." Hallelujah. I do feel direction today. I don't know why. I feel like it's been some months since I've preached an evangelistic sermon. Again, I'm going to go more down a teaching lane, but I do feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I want to preach to you for a few minutes on sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the stomach. Hallelujah. How about we go ahead and let the Holy Ghost flow one more time. Lord Jesus, Lord, we're thankful for what you're about to do. I feel the anointing rushing through this place. I thank you, Lord God, for a revelation of your word. I pray, pour out the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Let us today consume your word and receive it in our hearts and minds. I love you, Lord God, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm wondering today if anybody knows, after water, what is the most consumed beverage in the world? Anybody know? Coffee? Soda? Coke? Tea? Vinegar? Lots of guesses. Hallelujah. It is, in fact, tea. Who said that over here? Good job, man. Let's give him a hand. You won a $100 gift card to Walmart? No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. I wish I had that to give to you. After water, tea, believe it or not, is the most consumed beverage in the world. You thought it was coffee. I know everybody at first. I thought it was coffee at first. Some estimates suggest that there are billions of cups of tea that are drunk every day. Billions of cups of tea. We see where it is a universal, all over the earth, it is drank. And I said this to specifically my wife, and she said, well, of course, yeah, Europe. Well, not just in Europe or maybe the places you're thinking, but almost every culture in the world has some sort of type of tea, some way that they, a special little design and type of tea that they have created for that culture. When I went to Argentina, I had gotten, while I was there, a mate teacup. Anybody ever seen one of those? It's like this little coconut-looking thing, and you put tea leaves inside of it. Then you put hot water. Then they've got this special straw where at the end of it, there's a siphon, and you begin to drink it up. And that's how they create their tea in their culture and in that area. It's a very popular way to drink tea. And I can tell you right now, it is absolutely disgusting. I don't know why they do it. If you want a mouthful of baby leaves, go ahead and drink it that way. But I bought one, and I still have it on my bookshelf. My little son, Henry, every time I pick him up, he points at it. He loves this little interesting-looking cup that's so foreign because he thinks it's just so cool. But every single culture in the world has some type of tea habit, some way that they drink tea. Most of the countries, it appears they drink tea hot. Some boiling hot. Right? Anybody like hot tea here today? No? All right. There's just a couple of you. Praise God. Well, thank you for coming to America. Congratulations on joining us here. Because in America, particularly in the South, we like to drink our tea iced, particularly out of a foam cup from McDonald's. I got somebody even clapped on that one. Man, that's the most I got all day. Praise the Lord. Anybody like sweet tea from McDonald's here today? Yeah. I used to have a friend, and I am not lying to you. Every time you saw him, he had a cup of McDonald's sweet tea in his hand. Every single time you saw him, he'd walk up and he'd be slurping that tea. He'd come and say, hey, man, you know, we're going to meet together at this time. He'd come 5 to 10 minutes late every single time. Hey, man, what's going on? Sorry, had to hit the drive-thru. Had to get some sweet tea. Now, I'm not particular in McDonald's, but I do have a confession to make today. I, Pastor Aaron Meehan, was once addicted to sweet tea. This is where you say, hi, Pastor Aaron. This is Sweet Tea Anonymous here today. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Anybody else got a little bit of sweet tea addiction? Nobody's willing to admit it. Only a couple of you. I had such a bad addiction to sweet tea when I was younger. And I was real young. My parents, there's no way in the world they should have let me drink so much sugar. No way in the world. I drank it breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. I'd wake up in the middle of the night just to get me a cup. Hallelujah. That's how much I was addicted to sweet tea. The dentist tells me, even now, that I've got stains on my teeth from how much sweet tea that I drank. That's how much I did it. I know. Praise God. This is all right. We're going to work it through these issues together, all right? We're going to break this addiction together, all right? Praise God. And I tell you, once I learned how to make tea myself, it was all over. Once I was old enough and I learned how to put water in a pot and put those tea bags in it and put it on the oven, and I learned how, and I was able to reach up and grab the sugar myself, then you can believe that first jug, it was, you know, exactly to my mom's specification. Just this amount of sugar. But I can tell you, after a little while, that sugar, it increased. And I put a little bit more sugar in it. And a little bit more sugar in it. Anybody like sweet, sweet, sweet tea today? Come on now. You like it when it is like gravy, praise God. That's how we prefer it around here. Put it on some mashed potatoes and we're set, right? Hallelujah. That's how we like our sweet tea in the South. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's because it's that sweet taste. And I'll tell you, there is not much better. And though I've broken the addiction, I'm happy to say, and I'll talk more about that later, I've broken the addiction, but there really is not anything better than in a hot summer day getting a cold iced tea and sitting out, hallelujah, on the patio and enjoying some nature. Anybody know what that's like? Hallelujah, after a day of working, after a day of doing this and doing that, sometimes I just want a little sweet treat to give me a pickup, a little sweet tweet that'll turn my day around, bring some sunshine in the darkness. Hallelujah. And today, hallelujah, I know this might be a silly example, and I'll talk more about the sweet tea and all of that in a minute, but I am here to tell you that there's nothing sweeter than Jesus. There's nothing sweeter than the presence of God. There's nothing sweeter than the Word of God. I know in church we're often talking about staying away from the sweet stuff. We talk about staying away from pleasure, staying away from those things that might cause addiction. But I'm here to preach, hallelujah, that I have enjoyed the presence of God and the Word of God like it is a sweet treat in a difficult day. I've enjoyed the presence. Oh, come on, anybody else had a rough week and all you knew, I just got to get into the house of God. I just got to get into the presence of the Lord. I know if I can get in the presence of the Lord, everything's going to be a whole lot better. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's because the Lord God, He's not just meant to be the one that takes away. He's the one that adds. Oh, there is blessing to being in the presence of God. And when this verse of Scripture talks about the Word being sweet, hallelujah, that's how the Word of God truly is to those who are hungry and to those who are thirsty. He is a sweet treat and a blessing. Somebody clap your hands if you agree. Psalms 119 and 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to testify today. Praise God. I can think of many days where I had a bad attitude. Many days, hallelujah, where things weren't going my way. Many days where I was questioning this and I was questioning that. But I started to think on the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I closed my eyes and began to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then He turned my day around. And He showed me how good He truly is. He showed me how sweet His presence is. Praise God. I want to remind you, church, the Lord is sweet. The Lord is blessing. The Lord, He is great and greatly to be praised. Psalms 104 and verse 34. It says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get yourself a fistful of some Jesus today and add it into your life. I promise you, he will not let you be disappointed, but he will bless you. My first time coming into the church, fully just praying and giving myself to him. It was an experience like none other. There is nothing that can compare to the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that can compare to receiving the Spirit of God in your life. There's nothing that can compare to repentance. Nothing that can compare to that sweet feeling of relief when he comes through and he forgives you of your sins and he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Come on, it's a sweet feeling. It's a precious moment. It was the most incredible experience of my life when I first received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There is no other experience that has come close to it. When the Lord really touches you, when the Lord really blesses you, when he fills you overflowing, it is a blessing. It's sweet to the mouth. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know it's been a long time. Hallelujah. I know it's been some years since you first felt it. But can I remind you of how sweet the presence of God is? Can I remind you how good it is to know the Lord? Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Come on, church shouldn't be a hassle. Church shouldn't be a drag. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be a burden. It shouldn't be an obligation. Oh, come on. Church should be an experience that we long for all week long. It should be an experience that we say, I can't wait until Sunday. I got to get into the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. There's joy and peace in this place today. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Anybody thankful that the Lord brings pleasure? Hallelujah. I'm not much into it. And I don't remember fully, but I know there used to be this song. It used to go something like, why does the devil have all the good music? Something like that. But I'm here to tell you, the devil wants you to think that he's got all the good pleasure in this world. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Hallelujah. Oh, alabasana, alabasuna. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. There is no drug. There is no beverage, alcoholic beverage, that can be compared to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and being lost in the Spirit. There is no song that can exhilarate you like a worship song and praising and worshiping God in a church. There is no poem that can match up to the Bible and the word of the Lord. It's like sweetness, honey to my lips. I Oh, praise God. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me echo Psalms 34 and 8 and tell you, oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Taste and see how He can bless you. Taste and see that pleasure. Pleasures forevermore. I know it's been a long time, church, but there is enjoyment in coming to church. My old friend, Pastor Mark Hedeball, he always used to say, if you're not having fun living for the Lord, you're not doing it right. Hallelujah. I still believe that today. Praise God. I've never had experiences like I have walking for the Lord. I've never seen joy like I've seen walking with the Lord. I never experienced pleasure like I have being slain in the Spirit. Hallelujah, just passed out, knocked out from the presence of God. I've never experienced it like I've experienced it in the church. Last night I was here, I was working and doing some things, and I'm type 1 diabetic, if you don't know, which means I take insulin every time I eat. It's also the reason I'm not still addicted to sweet tea, hallelujah. But I recently, my doctor's working with me, got me some new medicine stuff, and it's affecting my blood sugars. I'm having these constant highs and lows and all this stuff. Last night, I got low. So I had to go and sneak into the kitchen and get me a cup of lemonade. I want to remind you, it's probably been, besides one cup I had about Wednesday night because I got low then as well, it's probably been 10 years since I've drank a cup of lemonade. So I went and I got that cup and I poured it out and I began to drink it. And it was an experience. So, wow, this is what we're giving our kids on Sunday morning after church? Thank God we're giving it to them after church, not before church. Then it's the parents to deal with. I mean, it was like the whole world opened up to me. It's like things became colorful. I saw colors I'd never seen before, and it was an incredible experience. The amount of sugar that's in that lemonade. Everybody, after service, you're going to go taste that lemonade, and you're going to know what I'm talking about. The amount of sugar that was in it after not having drank sweet tea or lemonade or anything like that in so long, it was so strong. Hallelujah. And this is just how God speaks to me, right? This is how He does it for me. I don't know how He does it for you, but this is how He does it for me. Hallelujah. I drank that sweet tea, and the Lord said, I know it's been a while, and it's easy to forget. He says, but that's how good I am. Hallelujah. He said, that's how good I am. Hallelujah. That's how good the Lord is. But it's so easy to forget. So easy to forget how blessed we are in the church. So easy to forget that I am eternally set. So easy to forget that I am blessed by God and favored by the Lord. So easy to forget all of His many blessings. Isn't that what the Bible says? His many blessings. Come on, I feel like there's still many blessings ready for some people here today. Yeah. But the reason, it's because the sweetness of the Lord, it also comes with a bitterness in the belly. Now, I know Revelation chapter 10 might not be a traditional passage of Scripture you'd preach on. And I want to be clear before it seems that I'm taking this Scripture out of context. I got no idea what was in that little book. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Nobody knows. But what was ever in that little book, when he began to eat it, the Bible says it was sweet to his mouth, but it went into his belly bitter. This isn't actually a new theme or a new thing in Scripture. There are actually a couple of other examples where it did almost this exactly. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, the hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. He spread it out before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe." Chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us what he was commanded to do with this roll. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Hallelujah. These are specific examples, but I believe it's contributing to this general idea. If I will be willing to consume the Word of God in my life, if I am willing to apply His Word, then I will experience the sweetness of the blessing that comes from the Word of God. Oh, somebody shout amen right now. Hallelujah. If I will take the Word and I'll apply it to my life, it will be like honey for sweetness unto me. We see another example in Jeremiah chapter 15 and 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Hallelujah, this was a blessing to eat of the roll. It was a joy. He rejoiced in his heart. Why? Because I've got a feeling, though he doesn't say it directly, like Ezekiel and John, it was sweet going in. Hallelujah. It was a blessing going in. It was incredible going in. It was an experience going in. Hallelujah. Knowing that the Lord had blessed him. But look at verse 17. "I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation." Wow, what a sharp turn we just took. You went from, "My heart is rejoicing, I've got joy because of your word," to, "I'm all alone and I'm filled with indignation." Hallelujah. Why is that? It's because with the blessings and the sweetness going in. When that word settles in the belly, it becomes like bitter. It brings discomfort. It brings uneasiness. Hallelujah. With the joy of the Lord, there also comes conviction. Anybody like me ever gotten a word from God and it was wonderful and hard? And it was joyful, but also a little disappointing. You were excited to have direction, but you didn't like the direction that you got from God. Come on, anybody know what else I'm talking about? Hallelujah, where it was sweet going in, but man, when it really settled down in the deep inside of you, it was like bitterness to the soul. And you say, hold on a moment. When I was about 11 years old, they tested me for type 1 diabetes. My brother had just been diagnosed. They tested me and they discovered that I had the genes or whatever, and it was very likely I was going to be type 1 diabetic. I went for a couple years hoping it wouldn't happen. I drank as much sweet tea as I possibly could. But then it happened. All of a sudden, my sugars were crazy, and I had to start taking insulin every time I eat. And at that point, I had to realize that the sweet tea, what was once so beautiful and wonderful, at this point, it was now destroying my body. I had to stop drinking what was sweet to my mouth because it was destroying my flesh. And here's the word of the Lord. He says what is sweet to the mouth, it's bitter to the belly because it destroys and it cuts away the deeds of the flesh. In the presence of the Lord, it's wonderful and beautiful, but hallelujah, back home, you start to realize that the old you is dying off, and it's not an easy work. It's a brutal work. The word, when it's doing its full work, it's going to be wonderful going in, but it's going to be bitter tasting to the carnal stomach. Hallelujah, that word, once it's consumed, it's not supposed to settle easily with sin. You're not supposed to have the word in the same belly that the world is in. You've got to decide. You've got to choose. The word's going to come in. Hallelujah, but you've got to cut out. So what do? I want the sweetness of his presence. I want the wonderful taste of his word, but I don't want to change. I want all the blessing. I want all the goodness, but I want to live exactly how I lived before. Don't you know the life you lived before is exactly what brought you here in the first place? If you want new life, you got to start new habits. If you want a new future, you got to let go of the past. You got to move forward in the presence of God. But sadly, often what we do is we did what I do. I didn't stop drinking tea. I just started using substitute sugar. I didn't stop drinking tea. I just started adding something that will help me to just get a little bit of that taste, but not do what it's actually meant to do. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. I just want a little bit. So I go to a church that's going to tickle my ears, make me feel real good. I can think about Jesus for an hour or two, and then I can go home and I can go back to living the way I want to live. It's not the true sweetness. It's substitute sugar. Hallelujah. You want the goodness of God without the good. Hallelujah. You want the power of God, the Spirit of God. You want the godliness without the change. That's not how God works. Listen, the goodness comes from the change. The sweetness comes because when He comes inside, He's able to transform your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and I'm not far from being done. I know we were talking about blessing and goodness and all that stuff, and we're now talking about other stuff, but hang on a minute. We'll get back to the sweet. 2 Timothy 3, 2. It's talking about the end of days. Everybody say, that's today. Hey, listen, I don't think any of us can argue that's today. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Listen, that's what comes with unruliness and unholiness. You lose the God-given affection that you've been given. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And look at this, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That word power, it means the influence over the heart and the life to change. I want to look like a Christian, but I don't want to be changed and live like a Christian. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to have just a semblance of Jesus. I don't want to walk in the consecration of Jesus. I want all the goodness of tea, but I don't want it to become bitter in my stomach. I don't want it to convict me. I don't want it to tell me that I'm wrong. I want to believe that I'm right. I want to believe that it's not truly my actions, my decisions, my choices that brought me to where I am. I want to believe it's everyone else's. Hallelujah. Listen, repentance requires for us to get real today and for us to get honest and say, I don't want to substitute God. If I'm the problem, I ask you to change me. I ask you to help me. I ask you to transform me. Take my life. Hallelujah. I give you influence over my heart and my life. I give you influence over me. Oh, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm sick and tired of the fake. I'm sick and tired of the substitute. I want the real presence of God. I want the real favor of God. I don't want it to be hanging on my wall. I want to be in my heart. Hallelujah. I don't want to just appear to be one thing. I want it to be true in every aspect of my life. Come on, who wants the real today? Who wants the real today? Who wants the real presence? Who wants the sweet presence? Oh. How about we stand today? When I drank that lemonade, it was so explosive because it'd been so long since I drank sugar like that. Today, I can't stand the taste of sweet tea. Today, I can't stand this taste of Coke and lemonade and all that stuff. It's hard for me to enjoy it. It's because it's just so sweet. Hallelujah. It's so sweet, and I've gone so long without it. But when you've gone a long time with it, then it's not sweet enough. Your taste buds begin to conform to that, and it becomes more and more dull. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. We've been so blessed, church. We've been so blessed to be able to come to church, be in the presence of God. So blessed that the Lord would choose us to come into His kingdom, to be able to experience the Word, to be able to know the Word of God in that way. We've been so blessed to have an altar that we can come and just lay it all out on. But after a while, it's easy to forget how blessed we are. And if I could do anything today, it's to remind you the Lord is still good. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. The Lord is still good. There are pleasures in His presence. If you will just shut out the world, grab a little bit of it and taste and see. Oh, can you allow yourself today to be reminded just how good it is to be in the presence of God? And if you need to find a place to repent, listen, go ahead and do it and see how blessed it is to wash, have Him wash away your sins and cleanse you and make you like new again. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost today, won't you just come down to this altar, lift up your hands and expect the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit on you like cool water. Oh, what a blessing it is. Last Sunday, I was going to tell you this one story, and then we'll go ahead and we'll have an altar call. But last Sunday, I went and preached for Pastor Hamby in Boca after our service. There they had a blind man. Pastor Hamby met him in the mall. He was walking around asking, "Where am I?" Doesn't get much better than that, does it? Pastor Hamby took him by the hand and he said, "This is where you are. Now let me tell you where you're going." He started preaching to him, Acts 2:38, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Well, I know I'm blind, but is there any water nearby that I can get baptized in?" He wanted to get baptized right there in the pool, the fountain at the mall. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Hamby said, "No, no, let's not do that. I don't want to get arrested today. If I'm going to get arrested preaching the gospel, it'll be legitimately preaching the gospel." He said, "Why don't you come to church tomorrow?" So he came Sunday. Hallelujah. And he was just so open-hearted. We prayed for him, and God was touching him. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you that the Lord healed his eyesight. He didn't. But the Lord did something that's even more great. After I was done preaching, I invited people to come down to the altar. I started a prayer line. He ran up. Despite being blind, he came up as quickly as he possibly could. And he stood at the very front of that prayer line. And we laid our hands on him. And I watched for the first time. I'd never seen it like this before. I watched for the first time God fill a blind man with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It was a beautiful thing to see. And I watched after service. They baptized him. They had to hold his hand and go in the whole time. But I can tell you, after all of that, he said, "Pastor, I believe that God is going to heal my eyes." He said, "But God did the greatest miracle he ever could have done. He forgave me of my sins, and he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost." Let me remind you, it's a blessing. It's a miracle to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So right now, I want to ask you, will you come down and will you taste and see? Will you explore this altar? Come on, the Bible